I'm Tony Cox, and this is News and Notes. From Super Bowl Sunday to racy high school cheerleader dance routines to the revolving top of college basketball, it's time for sports. And there's a lot to talk about on today's Sports Bloggers Roundtable. Joining us are Chad Brown of alphablogsports.blogspot.com and Erica Hernandez, who is the features editor for Rego magazine. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Well, the big day in football finally here, Super Bowl Sunday, could be one for the history books from a couple of perspectives. While the Pittsburgh Steelers are going for their record sixth franchise Super Bowl trophy, the Arizona Cardinals are making their Super Bowl debut. For Arizona, Chad, just being there is historic in and of itself. After all, they've been organizationally challenged, fan challenged, player challenged, coach challenged, but not this year.
No, you're absolutely right. This is unbelievable. If you had said at the beginning of the season or this time last year, the Arizona Cardinals would be representing the NFC in the Super Bowl, nobody would believe you. But having said that, since they got whipped in New England, they've played like they deserve to be here. They're forcing turnovers. Larry Fitzgerald has been a beast. And Kurt Warner, he's now taking a team that relocated to St. Louis and the team that relocated from St. Louis to the Super Bowl. It's unbelievable.
Absolutely it is. You know, Erica, this isn't Cardinals quarterback Kurt Warner's first Super Bowl, as we just said, which is good for the Cardinals, of course. He's a former league and Super Bowl MVP. A good performance here, a win, for example. He's back in the hunt for the Hall of Fame, isn't he?
Yes, he is. I think just with the win over the Eagles, definitely people started talking. They were talking all along. But now if he does leave with a ring, I think guarantees him a spot in the Hall of Fame.
I think you're right about that. Hey, Chad, the Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger has been there as well as a winning Super Bowl quarterback. His health, though, is an issue because of the concussion he got in the last regular season game. But which one of these guys would you rather have starting for you on Sunday, Ben or Kurt?
It's a tough one. In an ideal world, I'd take either or, but I'd give Kurt Warner the slight edge, even though I'm picking the Steelers, just because he's been there before and performed well before. Ben, by his own admission, while he has played well in this postseason, his last Super Bowl trip, he did not do well by his own admission. You wipe the slate clean. He's 2 years removed from that performance. He can do well, but Kurt has just been unbelievable. It's not even obviously the long throws to Larry Fitzgerald or Anquan Boldin, but even the little things like the third down pass against Atlanta that sealed the game. I thought that was unbelievable, and the screen pass for the game winning touchdown against the Eagles when they had been in a drought. I mean, this guy has really seen everything before. The flip side is he'll be going up against Dick LeBeau, who has been around Dick LeBeau's defense, and he's been around as long as the National Football League has been around, I believe.
That's true. It's going to be a real test for him. Who do you like as a quarterback better, Erica?
I would say right now at this moment it would have to be Kurt Warner for the same reasons that Chad's given.
Really?
Because
he does seem to be a little bit have momentum going his way, Steel Curtain could stop that. We'll find out. Speaking of the Steelers, by the way, Chad, their coach Mike Tomlin may also be making history if Pittsburgh wins. He would become only the second black head coach to ever win a Super Bowl, Tony Dungy the first. Ironically, though, Tomlin was hired by the Rooney family, which owns the team. They're the folks who created the so-called Rooney Rule, under which NFL teams must at least interview minorities for vacant head coaching jobs. Talk about paying off.
No, absolutely. And actually, it's interesting. He actually wasn't the quote-unquote Rooney candidate for the Steelers. They had interviewed Ron Rivera, the Chicago Bears defensive coordinator at the time. But thanks to the Rooney Rule expanding the pool of candidates, they took a look at Tomlin. They had him in for an interview. He blew them away, and they had him in again. So he definitely has made use of that, both in terms of getting in and also in terms of staying. And for me personally, I think the Rooney Rule has been good because it not only expands the pool of candidates not only on a racial level but even as far as the age level, but just expanding the candidates you might not have normally looked at. So now when they're being hired and fired, there's not as much outcry as it was when there were fewer African-American coaches and people might have been wondering, well, why is he being fired? Why is he not? Now it's more of an even field. I would like to see the rule expanded more to front office positions as well, considering the jobs that guys like Ozzie Newsome and Jerry Reese have done in constructing championship teams.
Yeah, I think you're right. That's an interesting point. You know, something else we should quickly mention before we move to our next topic is this. Everybody loves the Super Bowl, right, Erica?
Yes.
Right. And at least they used to. I mean, I'm not hearing a lot of talk. check that. I'm hearing talk, but I'm not hearing a lot of excitement about this one outside perhaps of Pittsburgh or Arizona. NBC is back as the TV host for the game for the first time in a long time. That means John Madden will be back on the mic, and that's usually entertaining. But I don't know, the buzz just is not there, is it?
I don't think it is, but I think with this whole Kurt Warner talk and just the whole Manning and Warner thing, I think it's actually sparked it a little bit.
Do you think so?
I think so.
Chad, do you think so?
I would agree to a sense. I think another thing you have to look at, remember last year at this time, you had the New England Patriots that were going for 18-0, and you have the New York Giants who were on a tear and also representing two of the bigger media markets, bigger fan bases. So while the Steelers, you know they're going to pack and travel everywhere, the Cardinals, I mean, with no disrespect to their fans, are kind of like, really, wow, we going to the Super Bowl? Okay. So that could feed into it as well.
Yeah, you're probably right. Plus, there's no real bad boys. You know, nobody's That's misbehaving. True. Nobody's been in jail or drunk, accidents, any of that sort of stuff. It's terrible to say that, but that is part of what makes the storylines so interesting when you have a Dallas and some other.
Yeah, and they didn't even make the playoffs.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So these are good guys. Presumably we'll find out what happens on the court. All right, let's talk about another rule in sports that has a lot of folks hot under the collar in the state of Texas and beyond. You might call it the mercy rule, Erica, where in youth sports, the idea is not to embarrass a team that's getting their butts kicked. Here's what happened at a high school girls basketball game in Dallas. A Covenant school slaughtered the Dallas Academy 100-0. That's right, I said 100-0.
Ouch.
Then officials from Covenant later apologized, offered to forfeit the game, and then fired their basketball coach, calling the team's behavior on the court embarrassing and shameful. And I should add, I guess, the losing team's players were learning disabled. Erica, there's a lot to talk about with this. What was your initial thought when you heard about this?
Well, everything I read was coming from the Covenant perspective. I never heard any of the girls from the Dallas girls actually complain or feel any type of embarrassment because they lost. They actually kept going. I think in the fourth quarter they held them to 12 points. So obviously they were still in it to you know, even if it just they held their heads up high and they continued. They didn't want to quit. So I think that mercy rule shouldn't have had any effect in there. As far as I think there was one of the coaches or one of the kids' moms said that it just felt like it was too like a layup drill and they were embarrassing. Covenant's kids were just cheering them on. But at the same time, the Dallas girls weren't complaining. They went out there and they kept going.
They did the best that they could. Well, you know, Chad, the team that lost, as I said, was made up of students with learning disabilities. They haven't won a game in 4-plus years. Should they even be in a league where they are so outclassed athletically?
Well, I don't think you want to deprive the girls of a chance to play at all. So maybe if you could move them into a lower league where they would have a chance to win, obviously through the same competitive rules. But it seems like with regards to the reactions, I read where the Dallas Academy athletic director said that he was proud of the girls for never having quit. It seemed like they weren't happy with the results, but they weren't disappointed in their girls. Everyone kept on trying. But I did see that they're also not going to compete with Covenant anymore. So I guess that takes some of the sting out. So well, I don't know what the answer is necessarily.
They certainly appeared on one of the morning shows. I think it was ABC, and they were happy about the effort that they put out, and they felt good about themselves in spite of what their parents and their school may have felt about how the whole thing went down. Question, though, for you, Erica, is the coach of the winning team got fired, got thrown under the bus for this. You agree with that?
Absolutely not. I think it was a wrong move by the Covenant school. I just don't think that he needed to be fired. If anything, maybe a suspension, some kind of disciplinary action. But as far as being fired, it was uncalled for.
Well, the argument was that, and I didn't see the game. I've seen clips of it, that they ran the score up in the second half. He said that he took his starters out, but whoever he put in the second half of the game, they were still firing up three balls and still stealing and just running circles around these girls from Dallas Academy.
He still cares about his girls, though. He wants them to perform as best as they could. And, you know, I'm sure he probably didn't, at that moment, didn't think, you know, these Dallas girls are probably going to feel bad at the end of the game. You know, it was just for him, it's more like, you know, these girls have worked hard. So why not, you know, especially if he took the starters out, let the other girls go in and play their game.
Really? What do you say, Jay? What should a coach do in a situation like that? There is no mercy rule in high school athletics.
Yeah, it's a tough call because are you going to put, whether they're your starters or backups, are you going to put your players in and say, okay, just give 50%? I mean, it's definitely a tough call. And the coach even said afterwards, you know, obviously this is not – obviously, a result like this shows no compassion, but that's not the case. You know, we feel bad about it. So it was a bit of a role reversal. But in terms, in general, I think sometimes if the score gets out of hand, I know when I was on the high school football team, if we were 30-0, 36-0, then we pretty much called off the dogs. Mm. So I don't know obviously it's a different sport and different circumstances. So I don't know. Maybe there should be some benchmark, but I would have to agree with Erica. I don't really see why the coach should have been fired in this situation.
Well, this next and last item isn't about mercy, but you could say it's about taste and what some see as the lack of taste by an Arkansas high school girls dance team that performed during a basketball game. A Jonesboro High School team was disbanded. The coach was removed after the team performed a provocative dance at a basketball game. A video showed up on YouTube, where else, called, quote, "The Sluts of Jonesboro," end quote, which displayed the girls' performance in thigh-high stockings, short shorts, and undersized shirts. Provocative, slutty, some pretty harsh descriptions, but I suppose, Erica, anybody that's ever seen a game, professional or high school, where they have these women performing and girls performing have seen this kind of thing before. Do you think this went too far?
Absolutely. At the high school level, it went way too far. I mean, I watched all 6 minutes of the video, and 3 minutes into it, you see the chairs come out and, you know, the lap dancing, you know, starts. That's just too much. And then what they were wearing, would it have made a difference if they were wearing more clothing? I don't know. But, I mean, the lap dancing just went way too far.
Well, I didn't see them do that. I saw the video. They were around the guys. They never really sat on their laps.
Yes.
That would have been completely, clearly over
right.
the line. My question for you, Chad, you would think somebody approves these dance routines before they are presented to the public, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would think so. And everything I've read says that it was approved at the time and that something happened in between the approval or the final practice and when it went on. But that really is no excuse for
you know,
this.
That's true. Now, Beyonce and others do this sort of thing on TV all the time, and they make millions from it. But Beyonce is an adult artist. Mm-hmm. These are teenagers. Mm-hmm. But is that enough to make a difference?
I think so.
You think so?
I think so.
Yeah? What do you say, Chad?
I would have to agree. I would have to agree.
All right. Before I let you go, one more thing. Your Super Bowl picks, Erica.
Pittsburgh 28-17.
And Chad?
Pittsburgh 31-27.
Okay. So you think it's going to be at least interesting before Pittsburgh walks away with their sixth trophy?
I think it's going to be very interesting. There are a bunch of factors at play here, and I'm picking Pittsburgh. I'm not going to hedge. I wouldn't be surprised if it was the same score the other way around. But I think it's going to be a great game.
I'm pulling for Arizona. I don't know why. I think they're going to lose. I'm just pulling for them just because I'm interested in the storyline of Kurt Warner, for sure. All right. Erica Hernandez is the features editor for Rego Magazine. She joined us here in the studios of NPR West. And Chad Brown writes for alphablogsports.blogspot.com. He joined us from NPR studios in New York City. Thank you both.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you, Tony.